Let's bow in a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we praise and thank you for your blessings, for your riches, for your goodness that you show to us every day, but especially this Lord's Day. Thank you, Father, for the songs and the message we've already heard. We just pray that we might continue in your word and allow it to speak to our hearts. Might your Holy Spirit show us those things that are needful for us to learn and apply and make a part of our daily lives, we pray. And Father, we want to be students of the Lord our God, and we want to have your Holy Spirit be our teacher. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes to see precious truth from the Word of God that we might make a part of our daily life in order to live and serve you in a more helpful and powerful way, we pray, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, top of page 1 of the notes, and beginning with verse 14 again. And let's not get tired of reading this passage of Scripture. I read a lot more often than you do as we come here to church, and I find it a blessing every time, and the Lord speaks to the heart. So beginning with verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Now notice, when the Bible says above all, it would emphasize the most important thing of all, put on charity, which is love, and make sure that love is the vital part of your Christian life. And then that verse goes on to say the bond of perfectness. And how do we understand that? I'd like to picture it for you this way. If you've ever watched somebody brick a house, what goes between the bricks? Mortar. And what does the mortar do? It cements or it bonds the bricks together so that they can go way up a 10, 20, 50 or more higher wall, whatever how high it is. And the mortar holds the bricks all in place. I would like you to have that picture as we look at verse 14. And above all, put on charity, which is the mortar that holds the whole building together as we gather as God's people. It's love that's to hold us together. It's a powerful entity that God gave to New Testament Bible-believing Christians. And then with verse 15 going on, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What are we supposed to do? Let peace rule. As we mentioned from the beginning, as we spent a message on that particular thought, God gives us his peace, and that peace is in the person of the Holy Spirit in every person's life. And all we have to do is let that peace rule. It's there in power, and that peace is so powerful, no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way in life, that peace is powerful enough to enable you to face whatever might ever come your way in life. So let's read verse 15 again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. God intends for his people to be a thankful people. May God help us in that. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And as I was thinking about that thought in verse 16 this week, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I had to think of the book that Jonathan Goforth's wife wrote, about his history while they were in China. They were there together, obviously, husband and wife, working in China for many years. And one of the things that Jonathan Goforth did, he read through the Bible 73 times in his lifetime. And when the Chinese Bible was made available to the people, he read it through the Chinese New Testament, comparing it to the English New Testament. He read them both through 35 times, comparing them to see if they perfectly aligned themselves and that the Chinese translation would be a good translation. The point being made is this. God mightily, powerfully used Jonathan Goforth to see thousands, like hundreds of thousands of Chinese people come to know the Lord. And he was in China up until 1933 or 4, I think. And just before the Communist Revolution came in. Communist Revolution was already on then. But God was mightily blessing the work there. But the point I want to make is, he filled his heart and mind with the Word of God. And that is a part of the Spirit-filled life, as we'll see this morning. And then teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns. And we looked at that last week somewhat. And we looked at psalms, how the book of psalms can be used to teach and exhort, to give comfort. And remember, you had a homework assignment last week. Anybody here remember what on earth the homework assignment was? Anybody? Caleb, what was it? Very good, my brother. Very good. We challenge you to take a verse from a psalm, and then the fellowship time that you had just a few minutes ago, or the fellowship time that we'll have now after this service, use the psalms to be an encouragement and be helpful. Share something with your brother and sister. You have a job to do. The Christian life is not getting saved and then you sit there and wait for the death angel to come or the rapture to come. That's not the Christian life. The Christian life is serving the Lord and doing what you can to be an encouragement and a help to your brother and sister in Christ. So let's move along. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, we've already looked at the psalms, as we just mentioned a minute ago. God also intended the songs we sing from our hymn book also to teach and exhort us as well. So I'd like you to think about that. The psalms, the songs that we sing, songs and hymns, they are to teach and exhort us, okay? Let's look at a couple of thoughts we have in our notes. Singing should be done with great enthusiasm and joy. Is that right? Sing with enthusiasm. Why? Do you know that God has given Bible-believing Christians something to sing about? And we have a message in song that we sing. And may God help us to sing with enthusiasm and joy. And our singing should add real life to the service. Is that right? Should our singing add life to the service? And might I say, it requires in a church setting, everybody to sing. Singing should prepare our hearts for the preaching service. That's another important point. And that's one of the reasons for singing, to prepare your heart for the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And then moving on in the notes, singing should be done directly to God. Now, at the end of the message, we'll go to the Psalms and show us that particular point. But I want you to think about that before we get there. Singing should be done directly to God. Now, when you pray, who do you pray to? God. When you pick up your hymn book to sing, you are to sing to God, okay? That is a biblical fact, and we'll see that as we go through this message. That's why it's important that you participate in the singing with all of your heart and add all you can with all the enthusiasm the Spirit of God would work into your heart and life to add to the service. Sing with enthusiasm because you, as an individual, are approaching God when you sing. I can't approach God for you. I can't approach God for you. You have to do that on your own. And when we gather, especially in a church setting, you approach God. You approach God when you sing. So sing with all of your heart. And it's not, man, how do I do this? You don't open your book and you mumble along and mumble, fumble along and you hardly know where we're at. Put heart and soul into singing. You open this book or you open the Bible, as you can see here. You open either one of those books and you are approaching God. So when you come to God with your hymn book, as we do in a church service, how are you going to participate? Half-hearted? What is that worth? Please, not half-hearted. And may we, with all of our heart, pick up our songbook and sing with great zeal and enthusiasm for the Lord. So our songs are directed to God when we stand up to sing. And then the singing may be as important as preaching. You think so? I do. Singing may well be as important as preaching. How do I know that? Well, you'll see that as we go through the message today, for one thing. But when we pick up this book, as the point I've just attempted to make, it's you approaching God as you sing the message of this book. You are approaching God. So how you going to approach God? Half-heartedly, half-hazardly? Men, of course not. Sing with all of your heart. Another statement. The hymns are to be a direct address of praise and worship to bring God glory. Again, we're not just singing so that we can take up the first 15 minutes of a church service so we get that behind us, right? That's not it at all. That would be a terrible way to think of the song service. The song service is as important as the preaching service. And so when we sing in the song service, let's sing with all of our hearts to the Lord. We are individually approaching God through songs. Now, songs with the right kind of a message will lift the heart to praise and worship God. True? Songs with the right kind of a message will lift the heart to praise and worship God. Now, in the morning service, the first service, Brother Ron, the second song that we sang. Now, as you read the words, as you're singing the song, that second song touched my heart. The words of that song made me lift my heart and worship and praise to God. Let's sing songs with strong biblical message that will challenge us in this matter of singing. And remember, I as an individual this morning, I approached God through song. And I hope as you were singing this morning that you saw yourself as an individual, you were approaching God through song. The same as you approach God in prayer, you approach God in song. Now let's move along in our notes. Be on guard as the devil works to corrupt music. Rock and rap does not qualify for Christian music. Now, let the world say what they will, but we'll just let that statement stand for now. Beware of Christian music with no message or value. Could there be such a thing as Christian music, so-called, with no message and not much value? Of course there is. If you listen to stuff on the internet and you listen to other church services and you listen to what some people are doing, of course that's a true statement. Now back to verse 16. Spiritual songs, what are they? How does the Bible use the word spiritual? In Romans chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible says this. For we know that the law is spiritual, which means God's word is considered spiritual. Therefore, songs should be based on scriptural truth to be spiritual. Amen? Amen? That's how it has to be. That's what the Bible would define spiritual. Now, let's look at another definition for spiritual from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So now look at the point we're making right under those verses. That which comes directly from the hand of God to sustain God's people is called spiritual, even though it consisted of physical food and water. What made, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which is a picture of the nation of Israel in the wilderness, and God fed them manna and God gave them water from the rock, how on earth could that manna and that water be considered spiritual? Because of this one point. It came from God. What comes from God is spiritual. Just like Romans chapter 7, verse 14 that we read above, we know that the law is spiritual because the law, which is a picture of the Word of God came from God. It's spiritual. Please get that picture fixed in your heart and mind. And then moving on. With that definition, our music should have its origin from God and His Word, from people who are filled with the Spirit, from people who have one goal and purpose to exalt and glorify our Lord and Savior. Has to be that way. God intended it that way. Now, on top of page 2, we have a song. And we want to look at the words of that song. And we'll sing it in a few minutes. First of all, the words. Now, remember the definition of good music and a good song. So let's look at this. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now, would you say this song is based on the Word of God? Absolutely. It's a song based on the Word of God. Now, what in this song would the devil hate? Would there be something he would hate in this song? Yeah, about right, Brother Jerry, about everything. Because it's a song about the blood. And when you read the book of Revelation, what it says about the blood in the book of Revelation in the tribulation period, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. It is the blood, it's a message of the blood that helps us to overcome, enables us to overcome our adversary, the devil. So we want to sing songs about the blood. And then verse number 2, saved by the blood of the crucified one, the angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father joined heir with the Son, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Well, you're coming to one conclusion already, I hope. What is it that saves? The blood of Christ that was shed on the cross 2,000 years ago. It's the blood of Christ that saves. Do all churches teach that the blood is the basis upon which our sin is forgiven and we are saved? The answer is no. No. Some churches teach that baptism has something to do with your salvation. Some churches teach that the observance of the Lord's Supper has something to do with your salvation, or giving money, or doing good works, or a whole list of other things. I'm sorry, but none of those things work as far as salvation is concerned. God establishes the parameters for what salvation is. And salvation is the work of Jesus the Christ on the cross. He died on the cross 2,000 years ago, making an atonement, which is a payment for our sin. And his blood was shed on the cross. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ atoned for our sin. And our sin debt was paid in full by the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go on to the third verse. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will it was done. Great price of my pardon, his own precious Son, saved by the blood of the crucified one. Now, who was all involved in this salvation process? Well, the Father was involved. God the Father was involved. He spake, and his will it was done. He spoke to the Son that the Son must come and lay down his life to be an atonement for the sin of mankind. And then I like the third verse, the third line of this particular verse, verse 3. Great price of my pardon, his own precious Son. What did it cost God to pardon my sin debt? What did it cost God to pardon your sin debt? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could pardon your sin. Verse number 4. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, all hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, the great three in one, saved by the blood of the crucified one. So in verse 4, the songwriter is establishing what point? That the Father, and obviously the Son, and then the Holy Spirit are involved in this matter of salvation. In this matter of the blood being applied to our sin debt account and our sin being paid. Now, Ashley, I wonder if you come to the piano, and we want to sing this now. Now, when you sing this song through this time, I want you to remember what we established in the beginning. When we sing, what are we doing? We are coming into the presence of God. You as an individual are approaching God as we sing, and you're approaching him with song. And the verses we're going to cover at the end of the message will make one particular point very powerfully, that we approach God through singing. And we're going to do that right now. Ashley, if you go ahead. And you sing it right out.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin and a new work begun. Sing to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The angels rejoicing because it is done. A child of the Father, join here with the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood, the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. The Father, he spake, and his will it was done. Great price of my pardon, his own precious Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. All hail to the Father. All hail to the Son. All hail to the Spirit, the great three in one. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. My sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. I'm saved by the blood, the crucified one.
Amen. Isn't that good? Man, that's a message. Amen. We could close in prayer right now and be a blessing, right? But we got more material to cover. But look at that chorus again. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are all pardoned. My guilt is all gone. Isn't that good? Sin is pardoned and guilt is gone. God took care of the whole thing, man. Brother and sister, God did. Let's move on in the notes as we work our way down page 2. Some modern day praise and worship is designed to create emotional response. But sound biblical music should first stir the heart and then affect the emotions. That's God's method. And anyway, I'm going to leave that point pretty much alone, but that's probably enough said. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we are to sing spiritual songs, that is, songs that reflect eternal values and heavenly values. Think about that. We are to sing spiritual songs, songs that reflect eternal and heavenly values. Not carnal, not temporary, not fleshly values. Ephesians 1:3 in the notes. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God our Father, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, he blessed us with what kind of blessings? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our Heavenly Father has already blessed us now with some of the spiritual blessings we will forever enjoy in heaven. God's grace and God's peace are mentioned. These spiritual blessings should be reflected in our lives, in our music. Most spiritual blessings depend on being totally yielded, totally committed to the Lord. And we've covered those points in preaching so many times over the years. But they are well to emphasize again and again. And now another song. And this song is in our hymn book as well, is You're All on the Altar. I want to look at the words of this song. Verse 1. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest and be perfectly blessed, pardon the spelling mistake there, until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. The author had that absolutely right. Oh, it is so true. Verse 2. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. And another mistake. On the altar your all you must lay. Verse 3. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul, please pay attention, till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And then verse 4. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our all on the altar is laid. Now question. In this song, what was on the heart of the author? What point is he trying to make? What point? It's this, and you and I know this point frontwards and backwards if you've been around this church for years. In order to see the riches and the blessings of the Christian life, in order for you to live in victory, to see answers to prayer, and have God's hand of blessing on your life, and to enjoy the blessed fruit of the Holy Spirit, there's something that has to be in place. And that is, you're all on the altar, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Has to be there. It has to be that way. And if you are not prepared as a Bible-believing Christian to put your life on the altar and say, God, here's my life, take it and use it, you're only going to be living on the crumbs of the Christian life. You'll not know the riches and the blessings that God has for you. Our all must be on the altar. Let's sing the song. Ashley, if you go to the piano. And as we sing this time, sing it from your heart. And remember again, before we begin to sing, we are singing to whom? God. You are approaching God as you begin to sing this morning. Keep that in mind. You are standing before God and you are going to sing. How are you going to sing? Let's sing on verse 1.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar, sacrifice laid, your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay.
Sing it out.
is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest. Give him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest. You heal him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love he will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made? Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest. Him your body and soul.
Amen. What a truth. What a challenge. And that is based on the Word of God. May God help us to keep our all on the altar in the Christian life. Now in our notes on page number 3, the next part we go to is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and following. And the Bible says this: be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, remember, we started this passage in Colossians from chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, looking at the commands in that passage of Scripture. In the passage here in Ephesians 5, 18 to 21, we have a number of commands as well. The first one, in verse 18, is we want to look at is to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when God makes this statement, be filled with the Spirit, is that a command? That's an absolute command. Be filled with the Spirit. My question to you is this: are you filled with the Spirit? It's not my command. It's not a command that's coming from Bethel Baptist Church or the churches across our country. No. It's a command directly from God. God commands, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we spent quite a bit of time in recent months looking at that very thought, the Spirit-filled life. But God wants, God requires that we be filled with the Spirit, because as New Testament Bible-believing Christians, all of the riches of God's grace come to us through this person and work of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then remember, to be filled with the Spirit and filled with the Word of God are two parts of accomplishing one thing, and that is a Spirit-filled life. When you put the Colossians passage that we've just studied, just looked at briefly this morning so far in the morning's past, together with Ephesians chapter 5, 18 to 21, you'll find out that the very same things, being filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Word of God, are synonymous. That means in order to live the Spirit-filled life, you're going to have to be spending time in the Word of God. You've got to be in the Bible. You've got to read the Bible. Study the Bible. You've got to meditate on the Bible. You've got to let the Word of God fill your heart and life. You need to every day spend time with God in His Word, in prayer, and if you can, sing. Remember, God wants His people to approach Him through singing. Now, it might not sound very good. If I start singing at home, my wife might leave because, you know, it doesn't sound the greatest. But does that matter? Not matter that she leaves, but doesn't matter if my singing isn't very good. Does that matter? You know what we're going to discover in a few minutes when we go to the verses at the end of this passage, this message? The Bible talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Everybody can do that. I think even frogs do that in the spring, don't they? Okay, let's read on. Two activities are mentioned in verse 19, speaking and singing. Both of these activities will involve psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Everyone can speak, and most can sing. The rest can make a joyful noise, as we've already said, verse 20. Now, verse 20 adds one more thing to the equation. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that one of the character traits of being filled with the Spirit is thankfulness? I want to ask you something, brother and sister. How often do you thank the Lord for the blessings that you enjoy every day? How often? Thankfulness is a mark of the Spirit-filled life. And if we're not careful, you know what happens to us? We get to taking everything that this life can offer us, just take and take and take, and never recognize the hand from which this comes that we enjoy, and to thank our God for the blessings that He gives to us. God's people need to be a thankful people. May God help us in that. Be thankful. And then verse 21 adds one more thing to the Spirit-filled life. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Question, what does it take to be a submissive person? What does it take? Humility is required in that. And when you want to look at humility, where is the greatest example of humility in the Bible? Where is it? Philippians chapter 2. When we look there at the life of Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ, He left the glory and the splendor of heaven. He came to this earth. He took on Himself a body of flesh. And in that body of flesh, He lived to please and do the Father's will. He lived a perfect sinless life. And He was the perfect sinless spotless Lamb of God, because He would be the one that would go to Calvary and He would bleed and die on the cross and atone for our sin. That's our Lord and that's our Savior. God gave His precious and only begotten Son. And how thankful we ought to be for that. And as a result of being recipients of that precious gift of salvation, being birthed by the Spirit into God's family, we can live the Spirit-filled life. And it'll be a life characterized by humility. And we'll be prepared to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Question: should this submission take place in the home? That's kind of pretty obvious. Yes. Should this submission be visible in the church, in Bethel Baptist Church? Obviously it should. Should this submissiveness be visible in your life, where you work or where you do business or where you live? Absolutely it should. Submissiveness is a result of the Spirit of God working in the heart and life. Now combine all of the truths into your life and start living and start singing. Singing with purpose of encouraging and strengthening your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. singing to promote praise and worship, singing directly to God, the same as if you were praying, page 4 of our notes. When the opportunity is there to sing, sing with all your heart. You can tell if you are filled with the Spirit by how you sing. Let me read that again. You can tell if you're filled by the Spirit by how you sing. Are you singing with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? You know what our problem is today? We forget when we sing in a church setting who we are singing to. I mentioned it half a dozen times already. When we pick up our hymn book and we start to sing, we are approaching God in song. With what kind of a heart attitude will you approach God? Man, it better be, as the songwriter we just finished singing, you're all on the altar. Your heart surrendered and yielded to Him. And you want to lift your heart and praise and worship to the Lord God and sing to the Lord with all of your heart. Would anything less than that be acceptable to God? The answer is an emphatic no. May God help us to sing. Psalm 95, verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and with a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. How do we approach God? With singing. How do you approach God? With singing. As a church, how do we approach God? With singing. Sing. God help us. And then, what kind of singing? The text tells us what kind. With a joyful heart, because we're singing to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Another part of singing. Another part of the words in a song. And then, Psalm 98, verse 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice with singing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp, and the harp and the voice of a psalm. With the trumpets and the sound of cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Now, when Ashley plays the piano, like she did just a couple of minutes ago, what's she doing? Look at verse 5. Singing unto the Lord with the piano. We'll take harp out of there and put piano in. Is that okay? I think that would fit fine. The point being made, you can sing with a musical instrument to the Lord. Interesting point. And then verse 4 of the Psalm 98. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God wants our songs to be filled with joy. And then, verse 5 again, with the trumpet and the cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Then Psalm 100, verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. What does God want to see His people doing, brother and sister? The last statement made in verse number 2 that we just read. Come before His presence with singing. Now, I can remember years ago, going back 20 years ago or more, when we were meeting in what's our fellowship hall now, suggesting one day to the congregation, I think we'll have a special service where we will sing for an hour and then preach for an hour. Would that be a good balance? I don't know. Could you handle an hour of singing? Oh, I wish you would love to sing that much that you could come just and sit and sing for an hour. May God help us to be a singing people, because singing is the way God wants us to approach Him. Singing. Let's keep singing. Now, the song that we have at the end of the page, let me just quickly read over it. Our time is flying away on us. There's within my heart a melody. Ashley, let's just play it and sing it. This is a good song. And may God help us to sing it with all of our hearts. Let's stand and sing. We'll make this the closing of the service.
There's within my heart.